Well, there's nobody to tell us now we have to be out at 11:30 or 12. The only ones are you folks. So if you have a road from the oven or something, you can just feel free to go because I'm teaching from done this morning. The next two messages will be basically teaching. I think. Tell me. Yom Kippur. Scapegoat. Kippur. Day of Atonement. Avodah. Scarlet thread. This morning we found whiter than snow. You know where it comes from? Whiter than wool in the Old Testament. There's wool on this particular day. Scarlet thread was white. Atonement. Massa for the Lord, for the sending away. Two horns, confession, repentance, forgiveness. What do all of these words have in common? Some of you have told me that you know that the people from school are told. I want you to pray that I will be able to condense this subject so I will not spend a long time on it. And one of our folks said, I'm not going to be praying for that. I want to get anything out of it I can. If you want to know who that is, I'll tell you. Because I'm going to do a few more messages to cover that. I think it's this church's fault that I will be spending two messages on this particular book that we want to talk about. Forgiveness. Will that be one goal or two? You see, what all those words have in common that I read before is the Day of Atonement. I think it's Pastor Bullock for you who wondered if I had the right passage this morning too. You never know, you must have been wrong, but if you still have trouble, it seems like it's wrong, but it's right. But the passage we read speaks of the Day of Atonement. It is this day that we have the two goals mentioned in our title. By the way, it was drawn to my attention this week that Radio Bible Class, the book that put out the Daily Bread, have a booklet called What is True Forgiveness? It was written by Pastor Gary Emery, who was a pastor in Calgary many years ago when we lived in Sea Hills, Alberta, far from Calgary. And Pastor Emery's first statement in his booklet is this: forgiveness is one of the most misunderstood subjects in all the Bible. It was my own. You can get the booklet from Radio Bible Class, or you can print it online if you go to Radio Bible Class on the internet. It's written in 2006. We will be looking at the Old Testament picture of forgiveness in this message and the next. And then we will look at the New Testament picture of forgiveness. The Old Testament picture of forgiveness comes on the 6th of 7 Jewish feasts. So in this message, I want to give us a basic understanding of some of the key elements that we must understand to get the right picture. In the next message, we want to spend a day in the courts of the Lord and see what exactly happened on this day, the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur. So this morning is basically preparation for the next message. In Leviticus 17, we find the 7 feasts of Israel. We have one of those right for us this morning, the script reading. The Jewish New Year's Day was the day of creation. Now we agree with that. They had 12 months of 30 days, And every 12 years, they added an extra month to make up for the extra days above that in a year. We have a leap year every fourth year. They have a leap month every third, sixth, eighth, 14th, 17th, and 19th year, and then it went in the same cycle. And if you are musically inclined, you can figure these out on the piano. When Israel came out of Egypt, they commemorated their first two feasts, the Feast of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Passover became the first month of their religious calendar, so in the month Kislev, they had the first month of their secular calendar, and then in the seventh month, the month of Nisan, they had their first month of their religious calendar. They had 2 years of each year. So the seventh month of the secular year was the first month of their religious year, and the seventh month of their religious year was the first month of the secular year. Now, in the first 7 months of their religious year, they had seven feasts. First Passover, then unleavened bread, and then first fruits. These months were prophetical as well. Passover foretold of Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and it was on this very day he was killed. Unleavened bread pictured Christ, the sinless one, and it was fulfilled at that time as well. First fruits pictured Christ, the first fruit of the resurrection, and it was fulfilled on the very day that it was commemorated. In between the first three feasts, the feast of the spring, and the last three, the feast of the fall, there is another feast, and it is Pentecost. It commemorated the giving of the law and foretold, I think, of the birth of the church, and it was fulfilled on the day it was commemorated. But now we come to the last three feasts. The first three feasts came in the grain harvest time of the year and pictured Christ, the bread of life, which we have first at communion. The last three feasts fell in the great harvest time and speak of the blood of Christ and prophesy of the return of Christ. All these three feasts we do not keep any because they are not related to the church. They are related to Israel. They are yet future. They will yet be fulfilled. The first of these last three is the Feast of Trumpets and pictures the return of Christ at the second coming, not the rapture. I believe the second coming will happen on that very day, as the other two feasts did. Now remember, I'm not talking about the rapture. That's only. After the Feast of Trumpets, in the seventh month, we have the sixth feast, and that is the Day of Atonement. This is Yom Kippur. It is the highest holy day in all of Judaism, even to our very day. It surpasses the Passover, if you can imagine that. It is the Day of the Two Goats, and we will be looking at that. What does this day speak of prophetically? Well, every year on this day, Israel's sins as a nation were forgiven. Leviticus 16, 20 to 22. In the future, there is a day coming when God will forgive Israel nationally. And then the millennium will begin with its collapse. You can find the fulfillment of the national forgiveness of Israel's sins spoken of in Romans 11, 25 to 26. That day is still future. After this day, of course, comes the Feast of Booths, or Tabernacles, which pictures the millennium. In the series of messages on heaven, we spent a whole message on this particular day. In the scripture reading of Leviticus 22, 26 to 32, which we had this morning, we have Yom Kippur introduced to us as it is given there as the sixth of Israel's seven feasts. We will read a whole chapter about this day this morning. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. So let me quote from Wikipedia. Yom means day in Hebrew, and Kippur comes from a root that means to cover or hide. A secondary meaning is who obliterates sin and wants to expiate or the covering of sin or forgiveness. What we have here is the day of covering or hiding, and what is covered or hidden is sin. The covering and hiding speak of forgiveness. Wikipedia also says of Yom Kippur, is, and I quote, Yom Kippur, also known as the Day of Atonement, is one of the holiest days of the year for the Jewish people. Its central themes are atonement and repentance. Forgiveness and repentance. In our subject of forgiveness, this is the most crucial day of the Old Testament with reference to our subject. Here we will have the subject of sin and confession and forgiveness and reconciliation dealt with. Now, I won't take time this morning, but if you go through Israel's modern history, they were attacked in 1973 by a confederation of Arab states on the day of Yom Kippur. The day when they went into this most holy day, they were confronted by the Arab people. Now you can read what took place on that particular war called the Yom Kippur War continued this week. Now, I must say a few things about the word atonement. This word occurs 16 times in Leviticus chapter 16, the day that we're talking about. So you know what this day was significant for. It was atonement. In the King James Version, it has been translated atonement 71 times, purge 7 times, reconciliation 4 times, reconcile 3 times, forgive 3 times, pacify, etc., etc., etc. 72 times. Of those 102 occurrences in the Old Testament, 16 occur in the chapter we will read later. The basic idea is to cover or to bring about satisfaction or pacify, atonement. You see, to cover sin before God, he must be satisfied. And how does God put away sin? What satisfies him? We find the answer to that in the sacrifice of the two goats of this chapter. Now the word translated atonement is the Hebrew word kafar, that's where Yom Kippur comes from. It means to cover. The idea is to cover and thus to cover sin. And how wonderful, how blessed is the man whose transgressions are covered. Forgive. Sin has come between God and man, and that sin must be satisfactorily put away or covered. When sin is covered, it is forgiven. When that happens, reconciliation takes place. So included in this word atonement is all that it takes for a relationship to be restored after it has been broken by sin. We find all these elements in the people. Now, in preparation for the next message, I want to say a word about the Holy of Holies. We're going to spend a whole day in the courts of the Lord in 1 hour next message. And I want to give a brief description of the temple where these days are celebrated. In Jesus' day, the temple that stood there was built by Herod, this ungodly man, praying that it may be. It was a glorious building, almost beyond description. The buildings that were visible were referred to as the Theos. Around this building was a courtyard called the Court of the Gentiles. No Gentile could enter the area of the Jewish people. And Gentiles, it would be like they would be out there by the road, and the rest of the people could come closer, but they could only come in that far. There was a fence that surrounded the temple area, and it has signs warning that a Gentile who went further than this was liable to death. Then was the women's court. Jewish women could get in closer than Gentile men. But a little further in is the court of Israel. This is as far as the average Jewish person could go. You know what we're doing? We're going from way out closer and closer and closer to the Holy of Holies. Yet a little further in was the court of the priests. The Levitical priest could enter this court. From there, one could enter the inner temple, which represented the tabernacle of the Old Testament. Only the inner temple was first the holy place. Only certain priests could enter the holy place. In the holy place, there were the seven brown candlesticks, the altar of incense, and the table of showbread. All of them are full of meaning, full of significance. Right behind the altar of incense was a very thick veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Behind the veil was the Holy of Holies. Get this picture in your mind, probably remember for next Sunday. Only one man, and only on one day of the year, would enter the Holy of Holies. That day was Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And on this day, the highest name for God, the name that nobody ever verbalized on any other day, was spoken 10 times by only the high priest. He was the only living being that was ever allowed to say this name, the name Jehovah or Yahweh. This name was written many times in the Old Testament when the Jews took vowel pointings under the word so that they had vowels in there. They pointed this word so that it can't be read. When a Jew comes to this name, the holiest name, he skips that name and he says, I don't know. He reads it different than it was written. So with that background, we want to go to a most fascinating chapter, Leviticus chapter 16, if you would turn to that. I'm going to do something I don't do very often in church. We're going to read a chapter. I think we could stand. Leviticus chapter 16. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they had offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at dusk any time into the holy place inside the veil, which is the holy place, before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in a cloud above the mercy seat. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of the young bull as a sin offering, and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash, and with a linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering, and one ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering with him for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his son. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall pass the lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself, and for his house, and shall kill the bull as the sin offering, which is for himself. Then he shall take fire, if you know what's happening, you can just leave from the river. Here's the high priest. He had to be sinless. House came as a sinless high priest. That was just literally full of significance. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord with his hands full of sweet incense deeply fine and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side and before the mercy seat. By the way, this mercy seat, the people calling forgiveness, calling for forgiveness. And before the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his fingers 7 times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, bring its blood inside the veil, do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions for all their sins. And so shall you do for the tabernacle of meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. And he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord, and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull, and some of the blood of the goat, and put it on the horns of the altar all around. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger 7 times, cleanse it, and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the live goat, and he shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of his suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. Then Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of meeting, shall take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his body with water in a holy place, put on his garments, come out, and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, and make atonement for himself and for the people. The fat of the sin offering he shall burn on the altar, and he who released the goat as a scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. The bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp. And they shall burn it with in the fire, their skins, their flesh, and their offal. Then he who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. This shall be a statute forever for you. In the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you, to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. It is a statute forever. And the priest who is anointed and consecrated to minister as priest in his father's place shall make atonement and put on the linen clothes, the holy garment. Then he shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tabernacle of meeting, and for the altar, and he shall make atonement for the priest, and for all the people of the assembly. This shall be an everlasting statute for you, to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins, once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. And you may be seated. Now, one of the problems why we have difficulty understanding the New Testament is because we don't understand the Old Testament. To understand the New Testament, a writer must have an understanding of the New Testament. What we have just read is the Day of Atonement as set out in the Scripture. Now, let me tell you what is most significant about this day. It is forgiveness. And that is our problem. In this passage occurs the word of forgiveness in Hebrew. We'll look at it in a moment. In Leviticus 16, we have forgiveness in picture form, and it could be a picture we will never forgive. So let me tell you first why I believe on this day goats were used for this offering rather than sheep. It is my view that the sheep pictures Christ in his sinlessness. The goat, on the other hand, pictures Christ taking my place, the sinner. The one is a picture of humility or nice Jesus. The other is a picture of love. Jesus, the Savior. You know, when Moses raised this bronze serpent on a pole, do you know why it was a serpent he put on the pole? Because that was Christ taking my place in yours. The best picture was a snake. Better picture for us than a sheep is a goat. Not worth it anymore. In the next message, we will see how they cast lots on these two goats. The lot that fell on the goat that would be the Lord's goat indicated the goat that would be killed as the sacrifice that day. The lot that fell on the scapegoat, or as a bull, would be the goat that pictured repentance or confession and forgiveness. It was the sending away goat. That's the word for forgiveness. Send it away! Send it away. Now I want you to go to Leviticus 16 for one moment. Leviticus 16, I want to read verses 20 through 22. And when you have made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle, meeting, and the altar, you shall bring the live goat. Then shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and he shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man, and the goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities through an uninhabited land. Now, I want to make, or to point something out to you in verse 22. The word bear is the word nasa. This goat would bear, nasa, forgive, the forgiveness of sending away goat, all Israel's sins to an uninhabited land. Now, according to the theological word book of the Old Testament, this word can carry three meanings. The idea, first, literally, it means to lift up, nasa. Then second, it can have the idea of bearing or carrying, that is still nasa. It is the idea of carrying guilt or sin. When we carry it, it's nasa, we bear it. Before a person is forgiven, he or she bears guilt for that sin. In Genesis 4:13, after a curse had been pronounced on Cain for killing his brother Abel, the Bible says, and Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear, nasa, sin. He tells he would not be able to carry or bear the weight of his sin. But there is a third way that this word nasa can be used, and it is in the sense of bearing away or carrying away, to carry away and to get rid of. When the Old Testament speaks of forgiveness of sin, that uses this word, thus the idea of forgiveness in this word. The main sense of this use is the idea of having one's sins carried or borne away. That's the idea of forgiveness. Now, because of time, I'm going to read a passage. Genesis 45, it is, you might want to draw it down. Genesis 45, 19 through 45, 19, 46, 5, 47, 30, 57, 50, or 17. Here, if you check strong concordance, you will find the word masa used over and over again in all three senses. You can check that out for yourself. So the first goat of Yom Kippur is the sacrificial goat. It was slaughtered and its blood used for that purpose. Before sin can be forgiven, it must be paid for. There are no options whatsoever. Before sin can be forgiven, it must be paid for. God does not do that. He chooses to do that. without sin of that can be no true forgiveness. But the second goal from Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, or the Day of Forgiveness and Reconciliation, was sent to bear away the sin of Israel. Not paying for the sin doesn't forgive anything. Now there must come repentance and forgiveness. You cannot have forgiveness with one goal. It can't be done. Can't be done. I'm going to make a point out of some key differences between Passover or what is called Good Friday and the Day of Atonement. Some writers, and I read several, said that the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament is the Good Friday of the New Testament. That is a major error. I think even Franklin said this. It's wrong. Good Friday of the New Testament is not the Day of Atonement, but Passover. It's Passover. It's the Day of Atonement for sin, not forgiveness of sin. As I see a Good Friday or Passover, it was the sheep that were prominent on that day. When we come to the Day of Atonement, it is not sheep that are prominent, it is both. It is a totally separate day. When Jesus died on the cross on Passover Day, he died when the sheep died. He paid for the sins of the world. He paid for the sins of ordinary man, woman, boy, or girl. Do you believe that? Now let me ask you, are they now all forgiven? No! What doesn't come on Passover? They come on the Day of Atonement. That's the purpose of these two different pictures. All our sins were paid for. To make that payment count for our sins, we must repent and be forgiven by God. Correct? Nobody's going to argue. No theologian, theologian of any value will argue that. That is what Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, speaks of. Passover or Good Friday speaks of human sin. The Day of Atonement speaks of repentance and forgiveness. Such is the major difference between these two days. So, in conclusion, this morning, we've been looking at terms important to understand, the sixth of Israel's seven feasts, the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur. This day is the Day of Covering, the covering or sending away or forgiveness of sin. The idea of the English word atonement, Webster's Old Dictionary says it is at one month, reconciliation, atonement. It is reconciliation after being parted by wrongdoing. When the wrongdoer repents, the wrong person is to restore or reconcile. We will look at that in more detail later. We read the chapter that deals with the Day of Atonement and found the word masah, or to bear or carry away. It was the second group that was left alive after the first was sacrificed that carried away the sins of Israel after they had been confessed to the group. This sending away speaks of forgiveness. By the way, no different word for forgiveness speaks of sending away. The New Testament word for forgiveness actually speaks of sending away. It is this which brings atonement or reconciliation to the offended party. And last, we saw the difference between Passover and the Day of Atonement. The one speaks of atonement for sin, and the other of the forgiveness of sin. So all this gives us a little preparation to look at this day in the next message. And Lord willing, the next message, we want to spend a day in the courts of the Lord on the Day of Atonement.